Well, thank you, Ron. Then, thank you, Kathy. You know, the best part about being out under the sky is on the 4th of July. And what happens on the 4th of July? Kaboom! Would you like to learn a firecracker clap today? My daughter, my wild and crazy youngest daughter, worked in camps most of her life, teenage years and college years. And a firecracker clap goes like this, swoosh! You got that? Swoosh. Do it with me, would you? Swoosh. Now, that's how you thank someone who has dazzled your life. For instance, Phil and Diane, stand up. You guys, the Sebrings, you guys had a, they married their daughter off last night. That's why they have no money in their pockets. And they celebrate their 4th anniversary today. Happy anniversary. Is there anybody else have an anniversary this weekend? Anybody else? Come on. Anybody else? Nobody will mention it. Okay, let's give them a firecracker clap. You ready? Swoosh. Thank you. You dazzle us. Okay, ladies that are table leaders or leaders of ladies ministry, stand up. Come on, ladies, table leaders or, come on, stand up. All right, congregation, are you ready? Here we go. Swoosh. Very good. Thank you. Okay, there's one more person. Who would need this? Who's got a birthday today or this weekend? Anybody? Come on. Stand up. Come on. Stand up. Anybody back there? Come on, Carol. Stand up. Are you there? Everybody. Oh, look at all these people. Did Dick Cruz stand up? Where's old Dick? I don't see Dick. Okay, I saw him this morning. I hope he's not. There he is over here. Dick is 72. I know that. Okay. Are you ready, guys? Let's give it to him. Ready? Swoosh. Okay, thank you. I'm going to write my daughter this morning and say, we old people can do it too, okay? You know, we are going to be talking about Daniel. And I love Daniel because Daniel was a dazzler. Daniel was a one that whether you were a lay person or a religious leader or the king, king after king, would turn their hearts from evil to worship and call their nation to worship the true and living God just because of swoosh. Daniel and the way he dazzled their lives. And I'm convinced as we study the book of Daniel during these winter months that we will come to understand that it doesn't take a whole lot to dazzle. It doesn't take a whole lot to grab the attention of God and the attention of those we love to bring joy and sparkle into their lives. As you know, I am a college football fan, and I'm not going to mention it yet, okay? Yet. I'm going to close the sermon with a great illustration. But Bobby Bowden is an old Baptist football coach. He started coaching at Samford University, an old little Baptist university in Birmingham, Alabama, and went on to eventually coach Florida State, where he became very notorious. One of his staff members was a guy named Mark Wright, and Mark was the coach of the University of Georgia this year. A couple years ago, got fired because he only won 10 or 11 games a season, and he went to the University of Miami, where he's been very successful. One day, when they were in the coaching profession together, Mark went into Coach Bowden's office, and he says, Coach, I don't know what it is about you, but there's something different, and whatever it is you have, I want. And Coach Bobby Bowden told him that he was a believer. He trusted Christ as his Savior. He asked God to forgive him and make him a Christian, and now he devotes his life to living for Jesus Christ. And there in that office, Coach Mark Wright and Bobby Bowden prayed together, and Mark gave his heart to Jesus Christ because he saw the dazzle of Christ in someone's life. Susie has a nephew whose dad graduated from Yale University, does not attend church. He's a jet setter, travels the world. He's getting old now. But when he went to his son's house for a weekend, and he never goes to church. He always turns down the opportunity to go to church. But when they talked about his pastor, he said, you know, my pastor went to Yale University. He said, what was his name? He says, I know that name. He said, he was a cool guy. He was a leader on campus. He was a Christian guy. He said, I would like to go hear him. And he went to church that morning that he normally doesn't do. And he heard this guy that he didn't know. But from a distance, he saw the dazzle and thought to himself, maybe that there was something there for him. Today, as we kick off the study of Daniel, I want you to ask yourself, who is watching me? Who out there needs to see the wonderful grace of God and the dazzle that it can make in their lives because they see it in mine? Well, I've chosen a little verse in today in Daniel chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 12, and in that verse is a great truth, because in that passage of Scripture, it tells us, I think, about Daniel and what kind of person he was, what kind of person grabbed the attention of lay people and kings, but more than that, what kind of person, what kind of man grabbed the attention of God himself. If you read the book of Daniel, we'll go back to chapter 1 next week. But in the book of Daniel, there are many prophecies given to Daniel, visions that have to be interpreted, and God gave him the ability to interpret those dreams. And one of the phrases I love in chapter 2, when he is complimented on his ability, he says, no, but there is a God in heaven who can do these things. And we're going to learn about that God in heaven that can do amazing things in impossible situations. And yet Daniel is here, and Daniel has prayed. He's received in chapters 1 through 9 all of these visions and all of these prophecies of the future for the nation of Israel that is in captivity in Babylon. And Daniel is one of those captives. And in there, he's been hearing all these things, and finally he prays that God would tell him more and that God would give him visions of what the history of the nation of Israel is going to be. And we're going to talk about those prophecies the last 2 weeks of our study in Daniel. But you know, right here, he prays and there's no answer, because he discovers in chapter 10 that there's a spiritual conflict going on between good and evil. And when the angel finally comes and delivers the good news, he says, I'm going to tell you in answer to your prayers. He says, but I couldn't come because I was thwarted by the enemies of darkness. And that's an important lesson in prayer, that sometimes we pray for something, but there's a spiritual conflict going on out there that involves good and bad. And sometimes we never understand or receive the answers to our prayers later in life because of that conflict that is there. But the interesting thing is in chapter 10 and verse 12, the angel turned to him and said, he said, Daniel, do not be afraid. He said, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. Even though we don't get an immediate response to the things we pray for, the God in heaven hears us. And here, 3 weeks after Daniel prays, the answer is given to him by this angel. And we'll get to this passage later when we come back to it. But really, what I want to talk to today is about, in this little answer, the angel says two things about Daniel that stand out to me about the quality of his life, the character of his person, the devotion that he had to God. And what are those two things? He says, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding. I think that Daniel had a mindset that said, I want to know God. I want to know what God is all about. I want to know what God says and what God expects. And I think that Daniel had a wonderful mindset that grabbed the attention of God. And later this morning, we're going to discover, not only did he have a mindset, but I had to create this word, a heart set. Because it says here, he says, since the day you gain understanding and to do what? To humble yourself before your God. And today, I want us to learn that God looks at people that have a mindset for him and a heart set for him, And through those kinds of people, God does amazing things, and God uses them to dazzle in their world. Now, if you look at this prayer to gain understanding, it's interesting because Daniel was a man that came to Babylon in 605 BC. He was one of the first groups of exiles that came as captives. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, when he conquered Jerusalem, he skimmed off the cream of the crop, the young men who were smart and good-looking and intelligent and capable. Steve, you and I weren't in that crowd, okay? He skimmed them off, and he brought them as exiles to serve in his royal courts and probably help manage some of the Jewish people that they had as well. And you don't hear Daniel was one of those. And at that time, we're going to learn next week in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel was told to eat stuff that would defile his religious upbringing. And he took a stand. He couldn't do it. Daniel was a man of conviction. He was a man who stood tall. And he was a man that was applauded by kings eventually. And yet Daniel knew God's word. But from chapter 2 on in the book of Daniel, he has a thirst to learn more. Angel after angel comes to reveal to Daniel prophecies that refer to the present time, to present players, to kings. In fact, these prophecies and the fulfillment that Daniel gives are so accurate that liberal scholars today say Daniel couldn't have written them because he actually came true, because they don't want to believe that the Bible is true and that what the Bible says really will come about. And so liberal scholars say Daniel couldn't have written these words. But you know, if you look at it, even Jesus attested to the fact that Daniel was the author of these words. So if you don't like the fact of Daniel, you don't like Jesus either. So it's a great history here and lesson in the confidence that we have in our wonderful faith. And Daniel had a thirst to not only know God that he brought to Babylon, but he had a desire to know more and to understand. And that's why the angel says, since that first day you set your mind to gain understanding. The God of heaven knows that Daniel has a mindset that says, God, I want to know you. God, I want to hear from you. God, I want your knowledge to impact my life. Why is that knowledge so important? Well, I think one reason is it brings chaos in our world. Daniel lived in a world that had been turned upside down. Jerusalem has been destroyed. He has been taken out of his homeland, and now he's a captive. What kind of roots does he have? He has no roots except the authority of what God has to say. But secondly, not only that, in the chaos of this world, it needed a foundation, but I think he realized that there is something special about the Word of God. You know, we're told by the Apostle Peter, he says in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, the Bible, is self-evident. If you read it, it ministers to your soul. And the reason it doesn't minister to many people is because they don't read the Bible. And yet when we read it, the power of God breaks through into our lives. Why? Because it wasn't written by a prophet, even though they did pen the words. It says that as they wrote, as they spoke, they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This book was written by men, but written by the living God. And the very words of God are here. That's why the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, all Scripture, did you get that? All Scripture is God-breathed, it's given by inspiration of God, and is useful for teaching, for correcting, for rebuking, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, the woman of God, might be thoroughly equipped. I love those words. Thoroughly equipped for what? Every good work. The Word of God equips you for every challenge, every calling, every responsibility that you have in life. The Word of God gives you that foundation. That's why Daniel, He set his mind. He had a mindset to gain more and more understanding of the Word of God. Do you realize that the terminology that Paul used here is that it's inspired? Literally, that means it's God-breathed. Every time I open the Bible, it's like the very breath of God. It's hitting me in the face, telling me about himself, and teaching me what I need to know. My friends, do I have a mindset that says, God, I am set on knowing you better every day? You know what the problem is? The problem is we don't read the Bible. And the problem is churches don't preach the Bible. We give you a sermon about politics and agendas and Time magazine. What was in the newspaper last weekend? But all that stuff changes. All that stuff has a source in man. But there's only one place that has a source in God that never changes. And Daniel knew it. And that's why he wanted and set his mind to understand what God has to say. Anthony Hopkins, the contemporary actor, is known for his skill in mastering a manuscript and bringing it alive on the stage or on the screen. He was asked what the secret was to his success. He said, when I take a manuscript, he said, I read it 100 times, sometimes 200 times. And when I get out there on the platform and they're ready for me to do my thing, he says, not only do I know every word of my part, I know everybody else's words, and I enter into the moment with full confidence because it has saturated who I am. Imagine the power. If we had the Word of God on the stage in which we operate, what it could do in the lives of those that watch us. One of my favorite illustrations of this is the famous Jesus boat they found in the Sea of Galilee. During one of the droughts on the Sea of Galilee, they were looking for some gold coins from ancient days. And as they were walking along, they found this structure in the water, and they called the Ministry of Antiquities, and they came out and they looked at it and they realized, wow, this is an ancient vessel. And they discovered it was so beat up and patched up that probably it was sunk because it was no longer usable. And they took it out and sunk it in the middle of the lake. But it dated back to the time of Jesus. And I think it's similar to the kind of boat that Jesus may have been in on the Sea of Galilee, and thus the name, the Jesus boat. But the problem with this boat is it had been in the water so long that the wood had become like wet cardboard. And they're afraid if they moved it, it would deteriorate and fall apart. So they were able, with modern technology, to surround it with this styrofoam-type material, lift it up out of the water, and they put it in a solution. Now, I've only seen it in a solution. Now it's outside of the tank. But in that tank of solution, they able to change the molecules inside and to take them from weak material into strong material, and that transfer took place. Until now, that boat is on display at the Sea of Galilee for tourists to go and see a boat like the boat that Jesus may have been in when he walked this earth. And you know, as I look at that Jesus boat, and I think that's what the Bible does to my life. Every time I open the Bible, every time I hear a sermon from the Scriptures, every time I gather in my cozy little reading place at home and I open the Scriptures, the breath of God speaks to my heart, and fiber by fiber of my being, fiber by fiber of my soul starts to be transformed by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, until that person on the inside of me begins to change and I become a different person. You know, my friends, if we read the Bible, it would transform the stuff we can't touch. It would transform the inner character, the real me, where you and I really exist. Years ago, I was speaking at a camp for kids, teenage kids, and Susie was there, and we just had a little boy named Greg at the time, and Greg was just a little guy, and they had a little pond with canoes on it, but Greg would not get in the canoe. He was scared to death to get in the boat. We tried and tried. Well, one day I went and spoke to the teenagers, came back to the little cabin where Susie and I and Greg were staying, and Susie looked at me and winked and said, "Daddy, why don't we go for a canoe ride?" And I thought, this kid won't get into a canoe. But she winked, and the three of us walked out, and the closer we got to the water, the more Greg slowed down. And as we got closer, he started mumbling. I said, "Son, I can't hear you. What'd you say?" I said, "Greg, what'd you say?" He said, "Mommy said, Greg, let's tell Daddy the verse we memorized this morning. When I am afraid, I will trust the Lord. When I am afraid, I will trust the Lord. When I am afraid, I will trust the Lord out to the dock. When I am afraid, I will trust the Lord into the boat. And for the rest of the week, we couldn't get him out of the canoe." You know, it was a powerful lesson for me. If a little kid who's 5 years old can memorize a Bible verse and it can change his life, just think of what God can do through you and me if we develop that mindset. You know, the first quality I think that God saw in Daniel that grabbed his attention was a mindset to know and understand what God has to say. Why do we not have that mindset? I think we don't have that mindset because we don't have a heart set. What's a heart set? Well, look what he says in the verse. He says, not only to gain understanding and to what? Humble yourself before your God. He says, when you humbled yourself before your God, your words were heard. What's it mean to humble yourself? Well, back in chapter 10, and when Daniel was doing his little prayer, in verse 3, at that time Daniel mourned, it says here, for 3 weeks. And he said, I prayed, but there was no answer to my prayer. So he said, I ate no choice food, probably a reference to grits. No meat or wine touched my lips. There were different vows that the Jewish people would take when they'd abstain from food, they'd fast, or they abstained from wine. And I used no lotions at all, on my body, till the 3 weeks were over. Yeah, I look at that and I said, I wonder if that is what the Lord was referring to, the angel was referring to. And he says, Daniel, you humbled yourself. I believe that Daniel realized that for him to gain understanding was not just listening, but he had to have a heart that said, God, I want to become a learner. God, I want to submit myself to you. And God, I want to examine my life and take things out of my life right now that are distracting me and preventing me from being the person that you can use, that you can reveal yourself to, that you can educate in your kind of thinking. And you know, I think that what Daniel is teaching us by his example is that humility demands a sense of sacrifice in my life. I cannot have my mindset that is set on God and knowing him better and serving him if I don't have a heart set that wants to do it. And a heart set that says, I am going to remove the things from my life. I am going to change my life. For him, it was food, it was drink, it was lotions. What is it in us that needs to change to better know, to better hear, to better serve the living God? I would suggest this morning for me and for you two things. One would be time. If you were to evaluate the time in your household, where do you spend your most time? The television, the computer, or the open Bible? Isn't that convicting? Huh? Oh, I hate that. I hate that. Sometimes I'll be searching the internet and I say, why don't I search the Bible as much as I search the internet? And that's why the culture of this world has become the air that we breathe, because I breathe it more than I breathe the Word of God. Time. That's why when a guy tells me I don't have time to attend an empowerment group, because it's not a mind issue. It really is what? It's a heart issue. Am I willing to do it? I remember when I started our first empowerment group, I did this in Birmingham. And a dear friend of mine, Joe, I asked him to start it with me. And Joe now has Alzheimer's. God bless Joe. He's our age, but oh, Susie and I had breakfast with him a couple weeks ago. And I feel so sad for Joe, but he saw it coming. Quit his business, sold his business, and made his arrangements because he knew that what was happening to him. But I started this group in an IHOP, International House of Pancakes restaurant, with my neighbors. These guys didn't go to church as very much. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. They wanted God, but they weren't into church. That group is still going. That group is still going. And I brought that idea over here to Arizona. Now we have 14 groups going. And we have, you know, over 100 men involved in weekly Bible study. And guys, if you're not in one and you want to join one, I would love to have you. I'll help you get you into a group, or we'll start a new group. My email is in the bulletin. My phone number is in the bulletin. RonGannett@gmail.com. Be there or be square, and we would love to get you involved in setting your heart to understand. But it takes a heart issue. A heart issue says, God, I will make time for you in my life. Not only is it a heart issue, not only is it a time issue, but I think it's a person issue, my style issue, my selfishness issue. What is the one thing in you that drives other people nuts? They laugh about it. They chuckle about it. They tease you about it. They get annoyed about it. They get hurt about it. What is that quality, that trait that's in you that you know is there, but you won't take that choice food or that choice drink or that choice lotion and put it aside and lay it down so that the power and knowledge of God can flood your soul? What is that one thing in you? You know what it is. If you don't, ask your spouse. This man from Pennsylvania, how many of you from Pennsylvania? Okay, was out chopping oak trees, and an oak tree fell on him. Fell the wrong way and fell on his leg, and he's out in the middle of nowhere. His leg was bleeding. He thought, I'm going to die here because no one can hear my screams. He did something very radical. He cut the pull cord off his chainsaw, and he wrapped it as a tourniquet around his leg. He took out his pocket knife, and I don't know how he did this, but he cut off his leg. Got up from underneath that log. He crawled to his pickup truck, drove to a local farmhouse, and they got him the medical attention that he needed. You know, I thought, how drastic it is he did to save his life. My friends, if I would identify what's trapping me, and if I would be willing to deal with it in a radical way, like Daniel did, and to humble myself to say, God, I will do anything, anything to know you and to serve you better. Imagine the difference it will make in your life. The first funeral I did in Canada was for a guy who died of cancer at the age of 44. He was not a believer, but his mother was. And he got a hold of me, and God used our friendship to help him become a Christian. And as he was in the hospital, he said, "I'm going to die, and you're going to do my funeral." He says, "But those people out there don't know the Danny that's in here. They don't know what God has done. And I want you at my funeral, I want you to tell them. I want you to tell them how God has changed me and how I'm a different man." And you know, God answered that boy's prayer. At his funeral, I buried him. His mother, whom I'd never met, called me over and she pulled me down. She said, "That's my son you buried. I've been praying for 44 years that God would turn him into a preacher, and today he preached the best sermon of his life." His wife became a Christian. His two daughters became believers. They married two guys. I called them the bodyguards. They were dating at the time. Two guys, and now they both have Christian homes. Christian homes. Just because one guy said, "God, I've lived my whole life and I've messed it up. But God, today I want to know you. And I will do whatever it takes to know and to humble myself before you." I ask you today, do you have a mindset? But even more than that, do you have a heart set that says, "God, I want to, and I will make the sacrifices necessary to know you, to love you, and to serve you"? On your little sermon outline, I have a little song. Maybe you sang it in Sunday school. "Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known." You know, dare to be a Daniel. Am I willing to do that? Well, God responded later in that chapter, and I don't have time to get into it, but in verse 14, he said, "Daniel, now that you have humbled yourself, I will tell you the future." And God, through that angel, outlined the future for the nation of Israel. Things that happened back then and things that will happen in the future. God gave him guidance for his life, just as God will give you guidance. But secondly, he gave him strength. He said, when the angel came, how would you feel if you saw a supernatural being? Daniel trembled. He was afraid. He fell to the ground. And the angel said, "Daniel, be strong. Daniel, be at peace." And Daniel says there that as though the angel spoke those words to me, I was strengthened. And as we listen to the word of God and hear what God has to say, our lives, our world will be strengthened. I ask you today, can you do those two things? Set your mind on understanding, and two, to humble yourself, to do whatever it takes to know him better. You know, when you dedicate your life to the Lord, you say, "Lord, I want you to take my life." One guy used the illustration, said, it's sort of like taking a $1,000 bill, slapping it on the table, and said, "Lord, here's my life, here's my $1,000. And the Lord said, "I'm going to give it back to you, but in rolls of quarters." And you spend those quarters with every person, in every situation, you invest them and gain understanding as to how to use that quarter. And to wake up every morning with a heart to say, "God, how can you use me?" Well, I promised you a football illustration. Thank you for praying for the University of Alabama at halftime. I love Ohio State. You know, when they put him in at halftime, Tua, I'm not supposed to pray for Alabama, and I don't pray for football games, usually, because I don't think God gives a rip about football games. But what I did pray, because I knew this kid was a Christian, I said, Lord, honor this young man. Honor this young man. So I knew he came from a Christian home. I think God did. Not the victory, but as a person. His uncle is a minister, a preacher back in Hawaii. His mom and dad are fine Christians, and they moved to Tuscaloosa, Alabama from Hawaii to be with their son as he played college football. He goes to an outstanding evangelical church in Tuscaloosa. When he was interviewed by ESPN, they asked him a question. He says, wait. He says, I want to give all glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because with him, all things are possible. And they asked him about the time he ran over to hug his parents after the game and to show emotion. Did you see that? He said, I ran over to hug them, but we were praying. And we were thanking God for his grace to us. What do you think of Tua today? You think, and my friends, if we develop a heart headset, a mindset, if we develop that heart set, then our family will see us dazzle to the glory of God. Let's pray. Oh, our Father in heaven, thank you for men like Daniel, who tell us and teach us that no matter what the situation, no matter what hardship comes your way, no matter how life seems impossible, there is a God in heaven who will care for us. Oh, Lord, allow us to take the truth of who you are, the information you've given us in the Bible, to so change our lives that we dazzle, and the lives of those we love to turn their hearts to you. Oh God, use Daniel in our lives this winter to teach us to glorify you in all we do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, are you ready to dazzle? One more time. Shh. Ah. You know how to do that? Just go into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Honor all men. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Share the gospel. Love and serve our Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.